Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed with white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. There were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast was like a calf, the third beast had a face as a man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. The 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sit on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their thrones before the throne, saying, or cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. My subject is the wings of the seraphims. The wings of the seraphim. And if you promise to help me preach, you may be seated. If not, just keep standing so we all can see you. I need some paper towel up here, please, somebody. Art, would you get me some paper towel out of the kitchen? I just knocked over this cup that was up here. Yeah, Kleenex would help. Mainly, I don't want it to stain my Bible. Only a few times, to my knowledge, in the Word of God do we have written record of human beings gaining insight into heaven, into the throne room of God. The Apostle Paul wrote that he was once caught up into the third heavens, but he did not feel the liberty to share with us the things that he saw there. But we have these two accounts that I read to you, one from Isaiah and one from Revelation, from John the Revelator. Both of these men visited the throne room of God, but being human as they are and were and as we are, they relate to us different accounts of the things that they seen or saw. John wrote, seeing a rainbow around the throne, lightnings and thundering. He saw 7 lamps and a sea of glass. Isaiah didn't mention those things. That doesn't mean that he didn't see them, but he just didn't mention them to us in his writing. This should not surprise us, the fact that they record different things, because they were human, and what stands out to one person does not necessarily stand out to another person. We recognize this from reading the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. They all 4 tell the story of the life and times of Jesus Christ. And yet many of the same stories are recorded differently because they were seen from the eyes of different individuals. So although Isaiah's account and John's revelation differ in some respects, there was also things that they both saw, things that they both noticed, that they both put down in writing for us to be aware of. There were 3 things that they witnessed in the throne room of God. First of all, they both saw a throne. They both were aware of the fact that they were indeed in the presence of a king, not just a fly-by-night imposter, but they were aware that they were in the presence of majesty. They were in the presence of royalty. They were in the presence, in fact, of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In our world today, there's a lot of lords. There's a lot of men in high and lofty positions with honor and power. But can I tell you today that all the men in the world combined and all the power and the authority that they might possess has nothing in comparison to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He and He alone is worthy of our praise and our honor here this morning. They both saw a throne. The second thing they both saw was one sitting on the throne. Isaiah said he saw the Lord. He didn't see two lords. He didn't see three lords. He didn't see 10 lords. He saw one Lord. John said, behold, a throne was in heaven and one sat on the throne. How many?
One
sat on the throne. We live in a world that's been hoodwinked by Satan into believing in many different gods, which men worship in many different ways and fashions. But I'm glad that in spite of all the lies of hell and all the lies of the world, there still is only one true living God. And I'm glad that I know His name is Jesus. Amen. They both saw one, yet they both saw different aspects of this one. John said to look on Him was like looking upon a jasper and a sardine stone. God's beauty exceeded John's capability to describe Him. So he just chose the two most beautiful things he could think of, and he combined them together to describe the beauty of the one that he saw on the throne. Isaiah saw a different aspect of that one. He saw one whose train, whose power, whose majesty, whose might, his record of victory on the battlefield flowed down, not just to the ground, not just a few feet around the throne, but the Bible said his train filled the temple. John saw his beauty. Isaiah saw his power. But they both saw the same one. They both saw a throne. And they both saw one sitting on the throne. The third thing that they both saw was the seraphims. Isaiah used this theological description or term for these angelic creatures. John either was unaware of this term, or maybe he just wanted to be a little more descriptive and he just called them beast. These beasts or angels were not just the ordinary type of angels that we normally think of when we talk about or think about angels. Angels that we know the most about are ministering spirits. There's other angels that are sent for our protection. There's others that are used as messengers. There's also another group known as cherubims, which are angels that are used to protect the holy things of God. It was cherubims that was placed in the Garden of Eden with the flaming sword to keep the way of the tree of life after Adam and Eve sinned. It was also cherubims that guarded the ark of God, these heavenly beings that ensured that only the high priest was allowed into the presence of the Lord. Anybody else was met with certain death. The one I want to dwell on here today is these creatures called seraphims. They're different in description by the fact that they had six wings. Not only did they look different, but they were also involved in something different that the others are not involved in. They seem to only have one reason and one purpose for being. They're not interested in delivering messages. They're not interested in providing us with protection. They're involved in one thing and one thing only, and that is in worshiping the one true God that Isaiah and John saw sitting on the throne. John said they never rest, they never sleep, they never take a break, constantly day and night. They are worshiping God, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. They're constantly, day and night, without break, without rest, giving glory and honor to Him who sits on the throne and lives forever and ever. Creatures who have no other reason for being, no other purpose. Their entire existence is to praise and worship God. They don't do it because they have to. They don't do it because they feel good on a certain day. They don't do it because they want something in return. They don't do it because they want a special blessing. They don't do it because they want healing for their body. They're not doing it because they're trying to get favor from God. No, they're worshiping God because that's why they have existence, is to worship Him who lives forever and ever and sits on the throne. Folks, can I tell you here this morning, I don't know anything else that you could do that would be better for yourself and for the kingdom of God than being involved in worship and in praise and exalting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You might say, Pastor, I don't have any musical talent. I can't sing. I can't do this. I can't do that. I tell you what you can. You can use your hands, and the Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. If you have breath in your body, you need to use it to worship Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to the day when Cottonwood Christian Fellowship is known throughout this community for worship and for praise. Amen. I told the first service, I believe in being honest. I believe in being truthful. I don't believe in false advertisement. And our billboards say Cottonwood Christian Fellowship, experience the difference. When people walk through these doors, they need to experience the difference. Amen. There needs to be something different here than there is in any other church in this city. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the power of God. I'm talking about the Spirit of God. I'm talking about people that gather together with one purpose in mind. And it's not to see who else is there. It's not to see who's dressed how. But it's to give glory and honor and praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The seraphims aren't worried about who's sitting next to them. They're not worried about whether they might get offended. They're not worried about if they might get a little too loud or a little too exuberant. They're not worried about where they're going to go out to eat after church. They're not worried about who's going to win the Super Bowl or lose the Super Bowl or who cares about the bowl. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all could get to the place where other circumstances and situations didn't bother us and didn't hinder our worship toward God? Pastor, you got the flu. You need to be home in bed. I know that's what the doctor would say, but you know what? I love Jesus. I love the Word of God. I love the people of God. There's no better place I would rather be than in the house of God. I can get well just as easy or quicker here than I can at home laying in bed. I've always had a problem understanding people that stayed home from church. Well, you know, I've got a toothache. Well, it's going to ache at home just like it aches at church. Bring it on to church with you. Some people are always looking for an excuse not to come to church. I look for an excuse to come to church. Oh, well. Although they're worshiping God, notice this, they also seem to invite the participation of others. They're not just worshiping God for themselves. They're also inviting participation from each other. The Bible says they cried one to another. So you had one group over here saying holy. You got another group over here saying holy. And then you got a group here not wanting to be outdone. So they shouting holy a little bit louder. And then this one over here picks up and say, I can beat that. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which is and is to come. me. How about we have a little heaven practice? When I point to your section, you shout holy. All right? Everybody shout holy, 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 holy. Oh, I can't help but believe in my heart that God likes that. They cried one to another, holy, holy, holy. Amen. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the reason the whole earth is full of His glory is because all of heaven is full of His glory. Amen. So if we want all of Alamogordo to be full of His glory, all of Cottonwood needs to be full of His glory. Not just the amen corner. Not just the first third of the auditorium. Oh, what's going to happen when everybody in the house comes to church? For the same reason, for the same purpose. To glorify God, to exalt Him, and to lift Him up. When people come early just to get a front row seat, not a back row seat. Woo! When heaven and earth becomes full of His glory, things begin to happen. It's no longer business as usual. A shaking begins to take place. Amen. The Bible says the post of the door moved and the house was filled with smoke. Don't tell me God don't like worship. I know that He does. Amen. Worship is designed to move the very throne room of God. If you want to get God's attention, if you want to shake heaven, then pull out all the stops. Take down all the walls and all the barriers and remove all the hindrances and just give glory to God. Oh, I've had people tell me before, you know, if you just sang that song one more time, I was really going to get with it. We already sang it 37 times. How many times you want us to sing it? Oh, I mean, I was right there, Pastor. I was really fixing to cut loose. We ought to be ready to cut loose the first time through the song. Don't make the band wear themselves out before you get involved. Well, I don't know the words. Well, it's pretty easy to pick up. Holy, holy, holy. I mean, how hard can it be? Just let that go ahead and be a sign to you from now on. Anytime there's a song going on that you don't know the words to it, then just start shouting, holy, holy, holy. That'll be all right. We won't get offended, I promise. It won't make God mad because you're singing the wrong words. Because He is holy. Amen. I told you a while ago, you know, some people say, well, I'm not worthy. I know you're not. You never will be. It's not about you. It's about Him. And the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So the only requirement that you have to have to praise God is to be breathing. You know, I know I've got a long ways to go still, but I'm glad I've come a little ways. I'm glad I've figured a few things out. I used to be a Pharisee. I used to be real self-righteous. I used to think it was my job to qualify everybody. Don't look at me like that. Some of you still like that. Well, who does he think he is? What does she think she's doing? I know her. She shouldn't even be in this church house. Oh, the audacity to be over there lifting her hands. Yeah, that's the way we are. That's the truth anyhow, ain't it? It's not about us. It's about Him. And you don't have to be perfect. One of those songs says, I'm not perfect, I'm just forgiven. Hallelujah. Thank God we've been forgiven. And we can sing the songs of the redeemed. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God loves worship. He inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. I better hurry up and get to the meat of the message here. The wings of the seraphim. I believe that the wings are symbolic expressions of their function. I believe within these three sets of wings, there's three necessities of true worship. And if we can begin to worship as the seraphims teach us to worship, we'll experience a move of God in heaven, in earth as they did in heaven. The Bible says they had six wings, three pair of wings, and they all served a different purpose. The first pair was used by the seraphim to cover his face. It's interesting to note that these creatures of worship worship a God that they do not even see. Some people say, well, I can't worship a God I don't see. Yeah, you can. It's not about what you see. It's about what you believe. You don't have to see him to believe in him. We see evidence of him everywhere we look. But some people want to say that, you know, well, I don't see evidence. I don't see God, so I'm not going to believe him. When I see him, well, then I believe him. You're a big hypocrite. Have you ever seen electricity? Have you ever seen air? Ding, ding. You're still using it. You're still breathing it. Well, I got to figure it out how it works. No, you don't. I don't understand how electricity works. I just know it works. And I know if I walk in and flip the switch, the light better come on, or I'm calling somebody. Jason, where you at? I don't know, but we'll call George. Call Pastor Vade. Call somebody. Get me some lights on up here. I don't know how it works. I just know it works. And so I don't have to figure it all out in my mind before I utilize it. How stupid can you be? I'm not smart enough to figure out everything I want to use. I know it works, so I use it. And I don't understand all how worship works, but I know it does, so I use it. Not only does God like it, but it does me good. It does you good. Some of you ought to try it. You might like it. Well, you know, I'm just more reserved. I'm not emotional. Phooey. You're emotional. You let somebody come running in that door and say, fire, fire. Oh, everybody just go right ahead. I prefer my brother. Y'all just go ahead. I'll just stay here and burn down in the building. No, you won't. You're going to be running over somebody trying to get out of here. Your unemotional self. They're covering their face, yet they're worshiping a God they do not see. I believe this has two meanings. They recognize that they're in the presence of a God so great that it's impossible for them to comprehend the extent of his glory. They understand that even if they could look upon his face, they would not be able to comprehend all it is that they see. So they quit trying. They quit trying. Some of you need to quit trying to understand and figure everything there is to know about God, because you're never going to get there. Just acknowledge him as God and cover your face in reverence and in awe to him for who he is. Amen. Let me jump over some things here. I'm not going to have time to get through or the strength to do it. We need to cover our face as the seraphims did and just glorify him and exalt him. Amen. No flesh is the glory in his presence. Amen. We're not going to be able to look upon him and figure him out. We just have to worship him and praise him. The seraphim covering their face also speaks to us of their reverence. They stand in the throne room of God worshiping him from sun up to sun down, day in and day out. They never cease, yet they never allow their worship to become routine or mundane. They still reverence God just as much today as they did the first time they started worshiping him. Can I tell you, church, it doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter how long you've called yourself a Christian. It doesn't matter how many church services you've been in. You need to always reverence God. You need to reverence him as much or more today than you did the first time you ever walked into his presence. But if we're not careful, it can become routine. It can become mundane. It can become a ritual. It can become just another tradition that we do. God deserves better than that. He hasn't changed. He hasn't diminished. His power hasn't weakened. If he was worthy of worship 50 years ago in my life, he's still worthy of worship today. And I don't ever want to get to a place where just coming to church is just coming to church. When I come to church, I come to worship. When I come to church, I come to glorify God. When I come to church, I come to give him my undivided attention. Amen. I'm not interested in passing notes. I'm not interested in filing my fingernails. I'm not interested in checking my email or seeing who's on Facebook. And let me just say this. It's hard for you to lift your hands and worship if you got a cup of coffee in one hand and a burrito in the other. You know how much coffee it takes to get you going. Just come early and get enough. And then come in here ready to worship God. You can't clap your hands with your hands full of junk either. Well, that's free. Didn't cost you nothing. Amen. In a revival service one night, an evangelist was preaching his heart out, trying his best to move the crowd. There was a visitor there he was trying to reach. He was trying his best. The church was not helping him. He felt like he was failing. He wasn't accomplishing his purpose. After the message, he was embarrassed to go back to the visitor and thank him for coming. But when he got back there to the visitor, there was tears pouring down his face. And he said, "Preacher, I've never felt more the power of God in any place in my life than I felt here tonight." Don't forget how you felt the first time you walked into the presence of God. Amen. And if I wasn't going to worship God for any other reason, I would worship God for somebody else. I've heard my daddy say all my life, if I wasn't going to live for God for any other reason, I'd live for God for my family. Some things we do for other people. And you know what? There's people that come through these doors every week that need to feel the presence of God. They need to be touched by God. They need to know that God loves them. They need to know that somebody else loves God. And I've told you before, somebody else besides just those on the platform. Lots of times I see it, you don't see it, but visitors, and there's some here today, and God bless you, thank you for coming. But they're not just always looking up here. They're looking around at other people too. And you know what? If they see you clapping your hands, they might think, oh, we're in one of those kind of churches. It's okay to clap my hands. And if they see you doing this, they might think, well, you know, that's okay too. And if they hear you say, hallelujah, preach it, preacher, amen, that's good stuff. I suckered you into that one, didn't I? They realize it's okay to be happy. It's okay to be engaged. It's okay to be involved in what's going on. Amen. You're not spectators, you're participators. You don't come to be entertained. I'm not in the entertaining business. I'm in the glorifying business. And that's glorifying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because he said if I would do that, if I would exalt him and lift him up, then he would draw other people to him. Amen. We must not lose our reverence and become callous toward the things of God. We need to cover our faces and shout, holy, holy, holy. Amen. He's high and lifted up. Heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. To be allowed access into his presence is a great privilege that none of us should ever take for granted. With twain, they covered their face. Then the writer says, with twain, they covered their feet. All I can tell you about this is they weren't watching where they were going. In his presence, they were not concerned about where they ended up. What I'm saying is trust is an intricate part of worship. Like I said a while ago, you don't worship God by your feelings. You don't just worship God when everything's going hunky-dory for you. When there's no problems, when everything's figured out in your life. No, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to worship him whether I understand what's going on in my life or not. I'm still going to worship him. I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to acknowledge him for who he is. No, I don't like being sick, but that doesn't mean that I'm not serving a healer. That doesn't mean that God is still not worthy of my praise. In all of our ways, we're to acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. So we cover our face in reverence, and we cover our feet and trust. Amen. I'm persuaded that once we begin to reverence him like he's worthy of and trust him like we really should, then our life will take on new meaning and we'll never be the same again. Amen. Before I mention the last set of wings, I want to point out some changes that took place in the seraphims between Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4. First of all, their song is different. Their song is different. Isaiah 6 and 3, they were saying, one cried to another, said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's what they said in Isaiah. In Revelation, the four beasts that had six wings with eyes within, they rest not day and night saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is. And is to come. So something happens between this period of time that changed the song that the seraphims sang. What happened? I'm glad you asked. The God of Isaiah stepped down off of the throne and took on the flesh of a man in the person of Jesus Christ. He robed himself in flesh, and he now is Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, the Almighty. Not only is their song different, but they themselves look different. John saw a change that Isaiah didn't see. John saw a lion and a calf and a man and an eagle. Jesus Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He became a calf in his sacrifice. He was a man in his humanity. And he became like an eagle as he was high and lifted up above the things of the world. Amen. All the years that transpired between Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4 produced a change in the image of the seraphims. They've been in the presence of the King of Kings so long that they're now taking on the image of the one that they're worshiping. Hello? Do we want the world to see Jesus in us? The more we're in his presence, the more we worship him, the more like him we will become. Amen. We can rediscover trust. And if our worship can become as the seraphims, we too will begin to take on his likeness. Another difference between the two passages is that in Isaiah, the seraphims were by themselves. In Revelation, there's others with them, the 24 elders. Theologians differ on what or who these 24 elders are. Most think that they represent the church. So not only are the seraphims there, but the church is there. And the seraphims start worshiping and praising God. And the church pushes their way in and says, move over, seraphims. We're here now. We've got something to say. We've got some worship to give. You've been worshiping him a long time, but we've got a song to sing too. We've got a song to sing that the angels can't sing. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. If anybody's got a right to praise God, it's the people who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light that we might show forth his praises. With twain they covered their face, with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did fly. It is our wings of worship that lift us into the presence of God. Nothing else will carry us where the wings of worship will take us. Folks, I hope someday you understand this. If you don't understand it yet, you can worship your way out of trouble. You can worship your way out of depression. You can worship your way out of despondency. It'll make you feel better. It'll get your eyes off of yourself. Get you out of that pity party. Woe is me. Get your eyes off of you and off of your problems. And get them on Jesus. I'm thinking about that old story. It's not in my notes. It might not even make no sense. But about that old goat that fell in the well. And they couldn't get him out. The farmer couldn't get him out. So he said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and bury him. So he got his shovel, threw some dirt in there on that old goat. That old goat just shook it off. He threw some more dirt in there. He just shook it off. Threw another scoopful in there, and he stomped it down too. And he just kept throwing dirt in there, and that goat just kept shaking it off and stomping it down until pretty soon he was on level ground. He just walked out. What am I saying? I'm saying that's what some of you need to do. When the devil throws some dirt on you, just go ahead and shake it off. Put it under your feet. I'm going to walk out of this pit of despair. I'm going to walk out of this trouble and trial. I'm going to worship God throughout my tribulation. And before you know it, you'll be lifted to the heavens. Stand if you would. Band, come please. I'm wore out. With wings, they did these things. Wings not just to look at, wings to use. Not just for show, but to move them somewhere. They covered their faces with their wings. That expressed that they were going somewhere, not just sitting. Reverence that sits in the church that doesn't move into the world is not true worship. Trust that stays in the confines of ease and comfort and never challenged is not true worship. Worship that is confined just inside these walls and not offered to those that we meet outside these walls is not true worship. It's time to mobilize our worship, mobilize our trust, mobilize our reference. It's time the world hears what's going on in the throne room of God. We need the wings of the seraphims that cover our face in reverence and acceptance of who God is and the way he works. We need the wings of the seraphim that cover our feet in trust to where the Spirit of God would lead us. We need the wings of the seraphims that would cause us to fly through this world with a message of hope to a lost and dying generation. Amen. I want to learn from the seraphims. I want to involve myself in their kind of worship. Worship that moves heaven and causes the whole earth to be filled with his glory. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise.